thank you for this morning. And Lord, what a great day. What a beautiful morning to enjoy. And we just ask that you would speak to us. Lord, speak through me and through your word. And may the things that that you've put on my heart, may they relate to each one here individually, as only you can. Only your spirit can speak to each one. So Lord, be with us and guide us in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Do we get hot all of a sudden? We're good. On October 16th, 1995, it's a few years ago, but something interesting happened. Jean Clément of Paris, France, was inducted into the Guinness Book of World Records by becoming the oldest human on record at over 120 years old. Now, I don't know if anybody's gotten older than that in the last, whatever, 20 years, but she has been the oldest. You know, she was born on February 21st, 1875, before the telephone was invented. Think about that, by Alexander Graham Bell. That's a long time ago. As a matter of fact, she remembered when the Eiffel Tower was being built. And as a child, she actually went as a child and sold colored pencils, and she sold some of her colored pencils to Vincent van Gogh. I mean, you know, that seems like forever ago, right? Yet she lived over 120 years old. And they asked her, what's the secret to your long life? And she said this, laughter and joy. Wow, laughter and joy. She said, what a great answer. What a great answer. You know, I think too many of us miss out on that. You know, especially as believers, as Christians, we have one of the greatest reasons to have joy, right? And to have laughter when we think about our relationship with God. You know, I truly believe this, that life is to be enjoyed. God created us to enjoy the life that he's given us, and we're to enjoy life as God intended. You know, something else we see in our culture, kind of relating to life, is, you know, our culture especially really seems to revolve around youth and young people, which is kind of fine. But you know, many times as we get older, we wish we were younger. Or sometimes we see with some of our young people that they sometimes disrespect those who are older. They kind of look down on those. But you know, we're going to see today that every aspect, every age, every segment of our life is important, and it is to be enjoyed. As we're going to see here from Ecclesiastes, Solomon is at the end of his life, and he's challenging, as he comes to the end of this journal, as we call it, this book of Ecclesiastes, he's challenging young people especially, but all of us, to live life as God intended, to enjoy life as God intended. He's teaching us to celebrate life, because the truth is, life goes pretty fast, doesn't it? Some of you who are older, the older you get, the more you realize life goes by pretty fast. Now, when you're young, sometimes, you know, you think life can't go fast enough. You want to get to 16 so you get a license, 18 so you can graduate, you know, graduate from college and all of that. But pretty soon you do that, right? You graduate from high school, graduate from college. Maybe you get a career. Some people get married, you have kids. But then before then, a blink of an eye, all of a sudden your kids are having kids, right? And all of a sudden you're nearing or you're at retirement. Some of you have gone and are going through that journey. And it just goes by pretty quickly. You know, we're kind of at that place in our family where our kids are all grown. They're all out of the house. Two of them are married. And we're blessed to have the joy of being a grandparents now. Actually expecting our second one, in case you didn't know. And that's, you know, it's joyful. It's great. You know, something that I made a commitment. I made some commitments in my life. One of the things I remember was when we first got married, I made a decision that, you know what, as we raise our kids, and as I go, I want to enjoy every aspect of my life with my kids. I want to enjoy every aspect, every age. And I've tried to do that. Now, I haven't done it perfectly, but I feel like I've done pretty well at doing my best to enjoy the moment that we're in. Now, there's hard times, okay? Not saying it was easy. There's been hard times. We kind of faced some difficult times here in this last couple of weeks. But I totally agree with Solomon, his message that we're going to see today, and that is to strive to enjoy life as God intended it. It may sound simple, but the truth is many people and many Christians were missing out. We're missing out on that, I think. So let's look at some of the last words of the teacher, as he calls himself here in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 11, I'll start with verse 7 and 8. So I encourage you to look in your Bible. Maybe it's on your phone or if you just want to listen. He says this, light is sweet and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. How many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will also be many. Everything to come is fleeting, a vapor, meaningless. It's interesting. We see here at the beginning of this passage, he talks about the challenge, I believe, to enjoy the goodness of life. To enjoy the goodness of life. Life is to be enjoyed, not endured. Some of us, I think, just endure life. We go from one day to another. We go to work and we endure that. And we go to something else and we endure that. We go to our kids' choir events and we endure that, right? No, hopefully you can enjoy those times. To take your life and to fill it. To do your best at what you do. To do your best, whether it's at work. Do you go to your work with joy? How about when you go to your home after work? Do you find joy and do you live with enjoyment of God's gifts? How about in how you treat others? Do you love others with the joy of God? You know, this summer, many of you, some of our family, church family is doing this right now. Sometimes you're going to go out and you're going to be able to enjoy some great hiking, some great scenery, some great camping times, enjoy God's creation. And those are some of the greatest times of joy, to look around and to see the joy of God's creation and that he has allowed us and blessed us to enjoy those things. You know, some of you are able to enjoy, hopefully, some weddings. Summer is always a time where weddings are happening. People are coming together and committing their lives together. Or the joy of holding new babies. Or the joy of being together with family and friends. We can enjoy the sunsets. And some of you are brave enough and awake enough to go and enjoy those sunrises too. That's not me, but I like sunsets. You're able to enjoy your favorite sports. Gardening, reading, so many other things that God has given us as his gifts. So many gifts to enjoy. And they're blessings from God. See, I think that's something that we need to remember. Sometimes we forget. These are blessings. These are gifts from God that he wants us to enjoy. And sometimes we miss them. So here's an honest question for you and for me. Are you enjoying life as God intended? We're going to talk about some of how God wants us to enjoy life. Are you enjoying life? Or have you kind of found yourself being kind of burdened down with the tough times of life? Is this you, or are you maybe known among your family or friends as a complainer? Maybe even as grumpy. Hopefully not one of those grumpy old men, right? Or maybe as somebody who's always whining about life and the things that don't go right. Sometimes we can get to have a critical and kind of a hurtful spirit to others and in the way that we treat them. The encouragement we're going to see this morning is to enjoy life as God intended. But as we go through this, there's some cautions. I believe there's some cautions that Solomon gives to us, some things that he has learned throughout his life. And one of those cautions is that there are going to be tough and anxious times. There's going to be difficult times. There's going to be disappointment, right? There's going to be loss. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be times of anxiousness. And this too is part of life, okay? It's part of the fall. It's part of the sin that's in our world. But you know what? We need to be honest about these troubles and these sufferings. But even in the midst of them, as we see from God's word, that God is still there. That God has overseen even those troubles and those anxieties. And he calls us to look to him, to trust him. And rather than always just dwelling on those difficult times, rather than always dwelling on our problems, is looking to him. Looking around at the gifts that he has given to us, the blessings, to count our blessings. I think Solomon is basically saying here in verse 8, they say, don't let the anxieties, don't let the troubles of this life rule you, okay? Not that you're not going to acknowledge them, not that it's going to be hard or you're going to have sorrow or difficulties, but don't let those rule your life. Where rather than it being just a short time, all of a sudden you notice and it becomes a season and then it becomes years and then it becomes a lifestyle where you're always disappointed, where you're always blaming or looking for something more. here's the thought. When you're dealing with difficult times, you know, I think God shows us in his word that we're to seek out help, right? We're to seek out help when things are going difficult, to seek out the help of others, a close friend, somebody that you trust that knows God, that's walking with God. Or even sometimes seek out a counselor or a pastor to help you with your emotional as well as spiritual life. Because sometimes we can get overwhelmed and all of a sudden life doesn't seem enjoyable. And so we need others to help us through that. You know, one of the things that have helped me, and it's not a cliche, but it's a verse from Philippians 4 through 6, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, that I cling to and that I memorized way back when I was a teenager. And it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, what does it say? By prayer and petition, in other words, talking to God, bringing it to God, with thanksgiving, even in the difficult times, come to him in prayer with thanksgiving. He says, present your requests to God. He wants to hear those. He already knows them. He wants you to bring them to him. And the peace of God, there it is, the peace of God, it says, that transcends even our understanding. We sometimes wonder, how can I have peace in this difficult time? The peace that transcends understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I hope you experience that. During the tough times of my life, I have experienced that peace of God as I brought it to him and leaned on him. I hope that you do that as well. As we're going to see later here in just a few moments in chapter 12, truth is sometimes the older we live, the longer we live, the tougher life can get, right? Especially with physical ailments, right? We're going to talk about those in a few minutes. Yes, life is to be enjoyed, but Solomon says life is also fleeting, right? We've talked about this idea of meaninglessness, and a lot of times we think of meaninglessness, it means like, well, there's no meaning in life. No, this word literally means fleeting. It's a vapor. It's a mist. The things that we have, good and bad, this life is going to go like this. It's really short and compared to eternity, right? Compared to the big picture. Life is to be enjoyed. But we also are to remember that it's short and that we'll be gone soon. And this is harder for young people to kind of grasp, right? Solomon, as he shares his wisdom in his older age, you know, as he does this, he doesn't look down on those who are young. You notice as he writes through this, he doesn't condescend those who are youth and go, oh man, you know, I blew it and you're going to blow it too. And I mean, he did some of that, but we see here at the end, he says, he kind of looks back on that age fondly. And he says, part of enjoying life as is intended is to enjoy life when you're young. Enjoy life when you're young. Youth and adulthood is a great time to be alive. Listen to what he says. Look at chapter 11, verse 9, and then chapter 12, verse 1. He says this, be happy, young person, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and see whatever your eyes see. And know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment or accountability. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Youth, young adulthood is to be enjoyed as God intended it. Now, I don't know where youth ends, okay? It doesn't tell us here. But I think, here in the United States, I think, you know, depending on your attitudes, I think youth can go up to the age of 40, maybe even more. But, you know, we live nowadays, you know, 70, 80, 90 years old. But as they look at this, when you're younger, your bodies are stronger, right? Your future always looks brighter usually. You're still able to dream, to look ahead, to enjoy life as it comes to you. God wants you to enjoy that time. If you're in that age, if you're, you know, 40 and below, I'll just put it there, you know. Maybe you're 45, you want to put yourself there, great. Or maybe you're 40 and you say, I feel like I'm 60, whatever. But if you're a young person at heart, if you're, you know, you have young kids, enjoy that time. Enjoy that time, he says. There's full of possibility. Often you have, especially when you're less responsibility, right? You have a little more time. You may not think so, but compared to later on, you do, okay? Even with young kids. Make sure you spend time. Enjoy this time. If you're in high school, we have some high schoolers. We have some middle schoolers. Enjoy that time. Don't let the burdens of all the things that are around you get you down. But remember, you know what? Seek to find out how God has created you, who he's made you special to be, your gifts and talents. Explore those things. Find new things to do. Try out different sports. You know, my son, Derek, I think he did just about every sport in high school. He wasn't great at any of them, but he enjoyed them, and it prepared him for his future, too. You know, when you're in college, we have some college students. I don't know how many, we have a few of them that are here. We usually have more. But you know, when you're in college, enjoy that time. Man, those are some of the greatest years. Enjoy those all-nighters. Enjoy those road trips. You know what? Do some fun things. Do some different things. Maybe you don't have, go on a mission trip. Go to some other countries as God allows. And don't just do it for yourself. But as we're going to see in just a moment, do it to serve God and others. We're to remember God and enjoy life as we're young, as young adults, as young families. Now is a time where hopefully for the most part you have good health. You have those special times with your spouse and with your children. Don't let work consume your life. And don't get caught up. You know, don't go and do things. Now's the time to spend time with your kids, right? So don't binge watch every TV show that's on Netflix or always spend time inside, but go and enjoy the life that God has given you. Again, that's something that I think that for the most part, I was blessed to be able to do. My wife oftentimes would remind me of that and give me a little kick, you know. It's not all about work and ministry. You have a family here. And I think we did a pretty good job. Solomon says the best way to really enjoy God or really enjoy life, he says, is to remember God. Did you notice that? Remember God. Remember your Creator. It's interesting when I use this word remember. We're going to see that a number of times in this passage. When he says remember, it's not looking back. We often think of remember. Remember something that happened when a long time ago. No, this word actually means to act. It's an active statement. It means trusting or obeying or walking with God. To remember God is an active statement. It's not something in the past, oh, I made a commitment to God way back then. I remember that. No, it's an active thing. You see, God is involved. It says God remembers us. A lot of times it says God remembers us. And every time it talks about that, it means that he's active in somebody's life. He's involved in somebody's life. And it's the same for us. When it says remember God, it means we're active. We're in relationship with God. We acknowledge and we know God as an integral part of our lives. So as I mentioned earlier, some cautions. Here's a caution. If you're one of those young adults, one of those young people, here's a caution. The caution is remember that as you enjoy life, as you enjoy your youth, remember that ultimately you're also accountable to God. Okay? You are accountable to God. Verse 9, we read it earlier. It says, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, he says, God will bring you to judgment. Now, judgment, we think of a bad thing, right? You're a judge, you're bad. No, it's basically another word you can use as accountable. Now, if you're doing all the wrong things, then yes, it'll be a bad judgment. But if you're doing things that are honoring him and loving him, then it's a good accountability. He says, remember, you're accountable. Just because you're young doesn't mean you're not accountable to God. We're all accountable for our decisions, for our actions. We often hear the idea of follow your heart. Follow your dreams. We often hear those, you know, graduations. And I think that's a great thing. But here's the question, who are you following? Where is your heart following? I think, as we see here, if your heart and your dreams and your desires are following God, then those other ones will honor him as well, won't they? He knows, Solomon comes here and he says, you know, I know you're going to be faced with temptations. How does he know that? Well, if you've been with us at all during this series, it's because Solomon gave in to many of those temptations. He's writing this to people, to young people especially, saying, you know what? Learn from my mistakes. We often say that, don't we? Learn from my mistakes. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But he's saying here, remember, you know, listen to what I'm saying. Ultimately, those things that I've been chasing after are not worth it. He knows ultimately that God is righteous, he says, and that we are accountable. So this means, young adults, okay, parents, this means that we don't determine how we treat our spouse. We don't determine how we treat our children. We don't determine how we view and do work. We don't view how we view sex or do marriage. God determines that. God's given us a lot of instruction in his word. And so he says, as you look at your dreams, as you look ahead, as you seek all these things, remember me. Remember your creator, right? Enjoy life as God intended. Because everything we do matters to God, right? In view of eternity, even the small choices we make matter. And God says, enjoy this life. Enjoy life when you're young. Don't waste those years. Use them. Enjoy them. Enjoy life because you know what? What you do matters to God. You know, that's actually an amazing, great thought that what you do matters to God. You know, many of us, especially as young people, you know, we value, you have good parents, you value that they love you and care about you and your decisions. God does even more so. God does even more. We should see youth and young adulthood as a beautiful time, a joyful time to remember God and to enjoy the time that he's given us. Enjoy that time with your family. Enjoy that time wherever you're at. So, young adults, young people, remember God, right? Walk with God. Trust God at school, okay? Trust him at work. Walk with him at work. When you come home, at your home, walk with God at home. As you go into the ball field or the activities that you do, remember God in those as well. Walk with him. If you do this, I believe that you will enjoy life as God intended. What a privilege. You know, a privilege, I know for me, to serve, to love, to follow God, to remember God in my youth. And I can tell you personally, and I'm just one person, but I think my wife is in that situation too, and probably many of you, maybe some of you, hopefully, who are older can say, you know what, it's worth it. It is worth it following God when you are young. All right, enough about you young people. No. What about for those of us who are over 40, 50, 60, 70? You know, does life end after 40? No, no. Does it change? Yes. But you know what? We're still under the same expectation to enjoy life as God intended. We're still there. Sometimes life may get harder in different circumstances. But Solomon says here, you know what? Not only remember God when you're youth, but also remember him as you grow older. You know, there were two little boys who were playing with theirs, and one little boy said, you know, wouldn't you hate to wear glasses all the time? And the other little boy said, no, no, not if I have the kind of glasses my grandma wears. She sees how to fix a lot of things, and she sees a lot of nice things to do on rainy days, and she sees when folks are tired and sad, and she knows how to make them feel better. And she always sees what you meant to do, even if you didn't get things all perfect. I asked her one day how she could see that way all the time, and she said it was the way that she learned to look at things as she grew older. So it must be her glasses. Oh, to be young, you know. And we know it wasn't her glasses, right? But rather it was her wisdom and her experience as she grew older. We read in Ecclesiastes 12:1 earlier how Solomon said, remember your creator in the days of your youth. But as we'll see, he was looking backwards, but then as we go forward, he's also looking ahead. He was also looking ahead to those of us who are older. This verse tells the young to remember God now, because someday in the future, you will, Lord willing, grow older. And in chapter 12, verse 6, Solomon says, you know, as you get older, there's another perspective. Sometimes you also need to look ahead. And he says this in chapter 12, verse 6, kind of the end. We'll get there again. But let me say, he says, remember God. Again, he comes, remember God. Before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well. What is he talking about? Those are all pictures of death, right? They're all pictures of dying. He says, remember God before you die. Don't wait till it's too late to remember God, right? Remember what remember means? It doesn't mean look back. Rather, it means to walk actively, to interact with God, to act on someone's behalf. For instance, let me give you an example of that. In the Old Testament, it says that God remembered Hannah. Some of you may know the story of Hannah, maybe not. But Hannah was married, a young woman, and she couldn't have children at that point. as she prayed and she prayed, asked God, God, if you will give me a child, then I will dedicate him to you. And it says the Lord remembered Hannah and she became pregnant. The Lord acted on her behalf. And so that's what that word means. It means somebody to acts on someone else's behalf. So when we remember God, we are acting, in a sense, on his behalf. We are acting for God. We are being a witness, an example for him. We are to remember God as we act, as we make decisions, as we live. Solomon calls us all to remember to turn to God, to remember God before age robs us of life. In other words, before we die. Because none of us knows how many years we have left, do we? But again, here's another caution. And it's one really we don't need to be reminded of too often as we grow older. And that's the truth that, you know what? We all get older. That's not that big of a truth, is it? But it is. It's kind of a caution. Remember, we're all getting older. And at some point, you are going to die. Look with me at Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 6. Let's read this. Let's read it all here. Just kind of let you know there's a poem, kind of a poem in the middle of this. It says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of the grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds and all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of the heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go to the streets. Remember God before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel is broken at the well. We see here, especially in verses 3 through 5, I believe we see a poem here. It's kind of describing an old house that is crumbling. It's kind of falling apart, okay? It's in decay. And so what this is, it's a poetic picture of some of growing older, okay? We see here the hands. It says the house trembles and the men stoop. It's talking about, you know, when your hands maybe start to tremble and all of a sudden you find you're bending over more than you should or than you used to. The grinders, it says, are fewer. The grinders are your teeth. Anybody losing any teeth in their age? Or maybe, you know, it says the songbirds in the morning wake you up. You're up so early, you're almost up before the birds. Many times, you know, it talks about the eyes that grow dim, the shades of the windows. How many of us have glasses, not just sunglasses? I'm looking around. Quite a few of you have glasses on. I'm just saying. And then here he says, it's interesting, we have fears. There's fear of heights or dangers in the streets. Many find that the white of the almond tree blossoms all of a sudden represent our hair. Rather than being bright, dark brown or blonde, all of a sudden it turns white, or as we say, gray. Getting a little bit of that around here. Some of you have more than I do and less. It's interesting, this description Solomon gives. And then lastly, he says, you know what? Not only this, he says, desire is no longer stirred. Interesting, that word there. It's talking about sexual desire, even as you get older. Those things you enjoyed so much earlier in life, now desire is not even stirred for some. It's a picture of getting old. It's not a pretty picture, is it? It's not something that you want to dwell on a lot, I don't think. But it's reality for all of us who eventually grow older. I mean, you know, even the most healthy 80, 90, 100-year-old still has a lot of those issues. It's just part of living in this fallen world. It brings home the fading of our physical and mental capacities. And as I said, I start to resemble some of those things as I have glasses. I have some gray hair. And as I learned this last month, you know, I've really enjoyed sports in my youth and played basketball and baseball, softball and tennis and all those things. And now I can't play those things as well or at all. As I grow older, as my body gets sore, or as I have deteriorating discs in my back, you know, that's part of life. It's part of life. Unfortunately, that's part of the fallen world we live in. But as we grow older, you know, those things, those can be the troubles. Those are things that can get us down, that we can focus on. But you know what we see here? He says, remember God, even as you grow older. Remember him. Follow him before the last of your days. Walk with him. Listen again once more. Or he said twice there, we read it earlier, chapter 12, verse 1, remember God. Verse 6, remember God. And so remember that it's good, whether you're young or old, remember, life is short. You know, maybe you're 15 or 16, maybe you're 35, maybe you're 25, maybe you're 65, but life is short, no matter what age you're at. We need to remember that God is the one essential thing. God is the one essential thing that I believe will bring us joy, no matter what stage of life that we're in. Solomon, at the end of this journal that we call Ecclesiastes, is talking to all people. I think especially geared toward young people, but he's talking to all. He's saying, do not forget God. Don't forget God at any aspect of your life. And he talks over and over about the things that he chased after, right? We went through a bunch of them. And he said, those things, they're fleeting. They're like vapor. They're meaningless. They don't satisfy your life. Some of you, if you're honest with yourself, you're still striving after those things like Solomon did. You're like, you know, I don't know, Solomon, maybe he didn't try hard enough. I think I can find happiness and meaning in all these things of this life. But it's time to remember your God. It's time to walk with God. The lead singer of U2, Bono, was one of my favorite bands back when I was in high school and college. He's a believer, and he wrote this one time. He read Ecclesiastes. He said, Ecclesiastes is actually one of my favorite books. It's a book about a character who wants to find out why he's alive, why he's created. And so he tries knowledge and doesn't satisfy. He tries wealth. He tries experience. He tries everything, every pleasure. And so you hurry to the end of the book to find out why we are created. And it says, remember your creator. In a way, it's kind of a letdown, he says. But in another way, he said, it's absolutely not. It's not. You know what? It isn't. Getting to know God before we grow old, before we die, is actually the most important thing that we are called to do. Let me finish. Look at verse 6 and 7 as we finish this section this morning. Verse 6, we read it a couple times, but let me finish off. Remember God before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, before the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Life is short. Death is imminent. It is. You know, we just got back. Thank you for Paula for praying for us and so many. We just got back from Canada, and Mel's father who passed away last week and having his funeral. It was an amazing, beautiful time. A celebration of a man. You see, this man, Bob, many of you knew him, been in our church for a while. He, I believe, is an example of someone who enjoyed life as God intended. He followed God from a child until his body would no longer give him breath at the age of 79. He followed God in his youth. He served God in his middle ages. He served God and loved and enjoyed life until his last days. And I'm not just saying that because, well, you know, you're supposed to say something nice about your father-in-law, okay? I'm saying this because it's true and because I experienced that and I've heard, we just heard testimony after testimony of people who shared that. And that's what I want my life to be said when I die. Is that what you want your life to be said about? That you remembered God, that you walked with God when you were young until the day that you died? I hope it is. I hope it is. So here's a question. Are you ready? Will your spirit go to the Lord? Whether you're a young person right now, whether you're married with kids, whether you're an empty nester, whether you're a senior citizen, we are called to enjoy life as God intended. To take those disappointments, to take the negative things, and yes, we deal with them. We go to God. But we don't let those things define our life because God is our creator. God is the one that we remember. So let's live life to the fullest, right? Not miss any of the great blessings of life because we forget God. Because we forget his blessings that he's given to us. So I hope that you'll make that decision. Maybe you never made that kind of decision in your life. Maybe that's a great thing to do today. Whatever age. You know, I'm going to decide that I'm going to enjoy life as God intended starting today. No matter what may come. Maybe that's something you want to do in your heart. I want to do that. And I haven't done it perfectly, but you know what? I always want to remember God in all that I do. And I don't want to blink, okay? I don't want to blink and life has just passed me by. I want to enjoy it. As we close, I want to play a song. Unfortunately, we don't have the video. It's too bright out here. But I want to play a song that I think will help you. Listen to the words. Listen to the story at the beginning and consider our lives. Consider how to live them. It's called Don't Blink. It's a country song by Kenny Chesney, and I think it's got great words. Listen to the words in the story. May it encourage you. May it encourage us to enjoy life as God intended. I hope that song was a good message as we finish this message, to remember to live life as God intended it, to enjoy whatever age you're at. Let me pray for us as we close. Lord, thank you for this morning. Wow, thanks for your word. And as we continue and get ready to finish Ecclesiastes, Lord, help us to remember the lessons we've learned for life. And Lord, thank you for the time now we get to enjoy some food together, enjoy some fellowship, and just bless our time. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How are we doing, hot dogs?